This is what the Lord says. There's a part when we get into those places of our life and we say, God, is this going to work out? Is this okay? What am I going to do? Everything in my world is literally just shattered. Everything's a mess. Lean on verses like this. This is what the Lord says. What do you really need to know in those times of your life? You need to know what God is saying to you. What is He saying about you? You need to develop ears that only care to hear what He says. We base our happiness way too much on what others have to say about us. And when it's not good or it comes back to us and this one said this and this one says that, I know because I do it too. But really at the end of the day, talk is very cheap and who could care? For years, I let the talk of, women preachers, and that would offend the heck out of me every time I would hear it, and I would have a bad day over it, and I would get all twisted up inside, couldn't get my flow with the Holy Spirit going because, by golly, I was offended at every dummy that had that to say. Yeah, I said it, dumb. And I stand behind it, and I endorse it. And no, I am not running for no office because I am not nearly politically correct enough to do that. But I will say Tanya Fletcher is, and you need to vote for her on March 3rd, right, Tanya? There we go. State representative, you're looking at her right here. You need to know more about what God says about your life than anybody else, because really at the end of the day, He's really all that matters. And we base so much of how we feel on what other people have to say. And what they have to say is irrelevant because they don't know you like God. And here's another key. Keep your mouth shut when you're talking about others because you don't know them like God knows them either. Amen. Amen. So this is what the Lord says. Get to where you know what He says to you and about your situation. He who made a way through the sea. This is referring to what God did. I want you to look back when you get in those situations in your life and you're saying, am I okay? We get in these little things, these little funks, as we would call it, and we get so just down. And I'm not saying that that's terrible, but it's terrible to stay there, because that's a sad place for you to be, being God's kid and all. He who made a way through the sea. Look back at your life and think and remember and recall every single thing that He did for you, every time that He was right on time. I'm telling you, God is never late for you. He's never late. A path through the mighty waters. I'm not saying that what you've been going through and what you went through and maybe what you will go through in the future, I'm not saying that those forces aren't mighty. But what I am saying is they are not mightier than the living God. And no problem could ever or will ever be bigger than God. And I remind you of His word, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing's impossible. So stop being Willy Wonky when somebody doesn't say something that you can have something. Well, you know what? You may be told no a million times. All you need is that one yes, and that needs to come from God. He'll ordain it in your life. A path through the mighty waters. I've been through some pretty mighty terrible things, haven't y'all? When you think about what you've been through, the problem is when you are currently going through something that has a tendency to feel like the biggest thing that you've ever been through. You ever notice that about life storms? When you go through something, you feel like it's the biggest thing. And I'm going to tell you something about God. You'll look back on that thing in a year, 5 years, 10 years, and you'll say, that wasn't nothing. Nobody and nothing compares to how mighty that our God is. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 6. I read this in one of my Christmas messages just a few weeks ago. We serve a mighty God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. I'm not against counseling. I'm not against advice. But what I will say is you will get your best counsel from God. He is the most wonderful counselor that has ever lived. Mighty God. God took you through some mighty waters. He took you from some mighty hard things. Maybe you're still going through those. Whatever has gone on, nothing is mightier than God. It's a literal name that we call him that was prophesied about Jesus before he was ever born. We will call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. What does that mean? Man, if you were blessed on this earth to have a good dad, you were blessed with a gem. I feel like I've personally had the best one, but let me tell you something. Not everybody feels that way, but what I can tell you about is the everlasting Father. One of the qualities about a good dad is they ain't leaving you no matter what you do. They ain't disowning you no matter what you do. They'll tell you when you're wrong, but that don't mean they don't love you. Everlasting Father. God is lasting through your problem. He doesn't quit being God when he fixes it and he's like, okay, now they're on their own. Nope. Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. One of the things that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy in your life is your peace. Is your peace. And isn't it funny how Christ, one of his names is Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. So when the devil has come in and stolen your peace, at any point in time in your life, you can stand on his word and you can say, God, in the name of Jesus, one of your actual names is the Prince of Peace. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every foul thing that wants to come against the Prince of Peace working and flowing up in my life. And right now, I pray for myself. And I say, peace, you're coming back and you're staying. And every foul demon that wants to take my peace from me, I cast you down, I bind you up, and I loose peace all over myself. So you can't lay your hands on somebody else and pray for them if you can't do it for yourself. Before you ever call your pastor, call on God. Before you call your mama, call on God. Before you call your favorite person and ask them what they think, you need to call God up because he is defined Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor. What more do we need besides what's in the four things that were just identified here? I don't know. I think that pretty much sums it up. Now, I'm going to shift into a part of the service that through a lot of prayer, God said, this is exactly how I want this service. And I said, God, it's your church. But you know, the pastor is not the only person that preaches. You are all preaching. You're all preaching a message with what? With how you're living your life. With coming out on top no matter what. God will help you do that every single time. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. Verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Your problems don't have the right to be your God. I'm going to say that one more time. Your problems don't have the right to be your God or your idol. The Word of God says, set apart Christ as Lord. You have either claimed Him as the Lord of your life or you haven't. But if you have, no thing, no problem, no whatever has the right to be in His spot. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be ready, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You have something inside of you, every person does. Somebody's going to ask you, somebody's going to need the product of the trial of your faith. I'm going to say that one more time. Somebody is going to need the product, what was produced from the trial of your faith. Somebody needs you. So I'm going to just tell you, and this is going to step on some toes, but you don't got the right to just stay down and be down for the rest of your life, baby. You got to get up. You got to pull up your bootstraps. You got to put your big girl panties on or your big boy underwears on, and you got to decide that this will not keep me down. Because somebody is their whole life, Brother Larry. Sometimes it's a matter of life and death with people. You know how many people want to exit this life? Because in the moment, they feel like there's no other way. You have something for that type of person. I promise you that you do. Just by what the trial of your faith has produced. Sweetheart, get me those two stools over there. We're going to actually have church. We're not going to act like church. We're going to have some church in here. We got 30 minutes. If you ain't liking this, well, I don't know what to tell you. There's something wrong with you because this is some darn good preaching. And you ain't going to see this stuff everywhere because most pastors are like, no, I want to hog the stage. I want it to be the pastor show. I ain't interested in that. I'm really interested in what God wants because God's the only one that can save you, change you, help you, all of it. Casey, come on up here. I thought about surprising her with this, and then I was like, one time, it's almost 7 years ago, Casey got me in the back office, and she let me have it. She was like, she got out a book, literally a book, and she was like giving me her complaints. And I thought, I'm going to respect my big sister a little bit more. Now, she is not up here because she's my sister, but she's up here because I've watched her life for many, many years. And Casey will tell you where she went wrong. She'll tell you where she went right. But I would like to say, Casey, most of all, will tell you what God did. I've seen Casey be gracious in situations where most people would flip the darn table. But there's a bigger thing going on in your life than how you currently feel. I'm going to say that again. Child of God, listen to me. There's a bigger thing going on in your life. And it's more than what you feel right now. I don't know who this message is for, but I know what God said to do. Casey, I want you to minister. Let's say You know, a lot of times speaking is very intimidating. But I know that there is at least one. There's probably the majority of the folks. But let's just act like there's just one. Minister to that person that says, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, will I ever be okay? God, can I ever be happy again? God, is this going to work out? God, what do I do now? You know, so many people, when things unexpected happen in their life, they say, what do I do now? I want you to minister to that person. My sister is a very elegant, proper, classy woman. And I have looked up to her all of my life. Casey, this ain't the time for all that. But I want you to get in that gritty part of yourself that we all have. And I want you to help somebody today. I want you to minister out of your life. I'm going to back up.
Well, when my sister called me yesterday, I kind of knew it was coming, but God had prepared my heart about a year ago. And I keep journals every time we have a message. No matter who's talking, I'm writing. And part of that is because I have a little bit of ADD, and I can't focus unless I'm really focused. And so when you write things down, and I know this because I'm a teacher, it's kind of like you're writing it in your heart. And so that's why I do that. And I had written down in my notes, Kelly's going to ask you to speak. And I was like, oh, no. Because I just kind of heard, you know, the Spirit tell me that this is going to happen, so get ready. And I was like, oh, but I really don't like talking in front of adults. I love you guys. Yes, but I don't like talking in front of adults. I prefer the, you know, middle school kids that I talk to every single day that say all kinds of goofy things and they don't care if you mess up, okay? But I will say that God has done a mighty work in my life, but boy, was it messy. And if you know me, you know, I mean, I might be kind of messy at my house, but I sure don't like things to be messy. I do not like, you know, I just want things to be good. For example, one time, Mom tells this story about when I was a little girl and I was wearing a cute dress and some white pantyhose and they got dirty and I freaked out and cried and just couldn't get over it, okay? And so that's kind of an analogy for what happened to my life, except for it was like I fell into a giant mud puddle and rolled around. But what happened is that, well, let me back up because I brought some visual aid. Because as soon as Kelly called me, the scripture came into my head, and it just wouldn't leave. So I've been dwelling on it the whole time, so since yesterday. And it's Hebrews 12:2. So let's turn there. And by the way, I have my parents' Bibles with me. This is my dad's retired Bible, and then this is my mom's right here. And I'm only reading out of Mom's, Dad, because the print's bigger, and I forgot my glasses. So, we have to set this microphone down. Actually, this is King James Version, and I want it in the NIV, so let me see if I can get it. Here we go. Oh, thank you. I love this verse. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so I love anything that has to do with books. I'm kind of a nerd, and it's fine if you're a nerd because that's my favorite kind of people. And I have this sign that I bought about a year ago. I think it was about a year ago. And it says, I trust the next chapter because I know the author. Okay, and that's kind of been the anthem of my life for the past couple, well, several years. And then this is just a beautiful book that my dad got me when I was a teenager. And I have like a whole bunch of them. But I brought this one just to show you that this is like your life, okay? And when you come into this world, and especially when you're a teenager's age, so I'm looking back there at Bella and Colton and any other teenagers we have in here right there, Kimber. So you're writing a story. You're telling yourself a story. When I grow up, I'm going to be this, and I'm going to do this, and all this is going to happen just the way I have it planned out, okay? And so you're starting at the beginning, and here you are. You're right at the beginning, and you have this beautiful thing planned out. And you have your childhood and things that have gone on. Maybe it's not all perfect, but that's what you're doing with your life. You're writing this story. But sometimes we forget we're not the author, okay? So, and I was always like that. And Kelly talked to me about how I like to plan things out. And she's right. I'd have everything planned out to the T if I could. I knew that when I was 25, I was going to have my first child. And when I was this age, I was going to have my second child. And then I was going to do all of these things. And I wanted to be married just as long as my mom and dad. Okay? And all those things were in my plans. Don't think they were God's plans because I made a few choices that were not his choices. And so one of the first things that happened is when I was 25, I wanted to have a child. And so tried to do that, and that did not happen, you know. And had a lot of struggle with that. And God had to do a mighty work inside my physical body and inside my spiritual mind to help me to have Bella. And so I didn't have Bella until I was 29, so in 2009, okay? And when I did, I mean, that did something to me, and it grew my faith so much that I knew that God could do anything for me. But, you know, just because you have a few victories doesn't mean you're not going to get knocked down a few more times. And so, and that did happen. And then I had Riley, who was an awesome other miracle. I remember calling the doctor, and he said, "Are you sure you're pregnant?" And I said, "Yeah, I took about 25 tests, I'm sure." And and I remember them just being blown away by that. And that's one area of my life that I got it right, that I finally said, "Hey, God, whether or not you give me a child, I will be happy, and I will serve you, and I'll do whatever you ask me to do. It doesn't matter if you give me one. I'll be a mother to someone who doesn't have a mom." And when you do that, you let God be your author. That's what happens. So he's like, "Okay, I'm glad you let that go." And so he just gave me the desires of my heart. So I'm so grateful for that. But this verse is something that's so imprinted in me. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. And if you're a person who wants things to be just right, you want to be in God's perfect will, not just a good one. I want to be in his perfect will. And so this is something that I want in me, and I just want it to be a part of me, not just something I read sometimes to make myself feel better. Okay? And so back to the book, went on several years, and what happened next is I wanted to be a teacher, and that was a huge struggle. And I finally, you know, I actually talked to Dad, and I said, "Dad, do you think that I can be a teacher?" Because I was switching careers, and I wasn't young. And he said, "Yes, I think you can do anything you want to do." Okay? So if you don't have a dad like that, I'm so sorry. But you do have a Heavenly Father who believes in you. But my dad has always encouraged me and told me, "Yes, I can do it." Never told me once, "I don't think you're good enough for that." And everybody needs that. But I'm telling you, if you don't have that, God's the one who's going to be that for you. He is. He's never going to leave you. So a few years later, you know, after becoming a teacher, some things were going on in my life. I had an amazing home. My spouse at the time had a business, and it just looked like everything was perfect. I had my two kids. I had the career that I had fought so hard to get. And then, you know, sometimes things happen. And what happened is that my 20-year marriage ended due to infidelity. And that was a huge shock to me. I never entered into marriage thinking, "Oh, I could just get a divorce." For me, that has never been an option because I grew up with my parents. You know, that's something that I grew up with, and that just never crossed my mind, not ever once. But when that happened, you know, I was hurt to the core, and I was a little mad at God, okay? And I don't think that was okay. I just wanted to know why he let that happen. And the truth is, he didn't let that happen. You know what happened? Maybe I wasn't listening when he told me who to marry, okay? So you have to be real with yourself when you think about, "Oh, why did you let this happen to me?" You have to be real, and you have to own it. And you have to say, "God, if I'm wrong, correct me. Help me to go the right way." And you have to not be afraid of what's going to happen, because correction doesn't feel good. It doesn't. And so that marriage ended. And it was devastating. It was a time when I did not think I could make it. And after that marriage ended, I was broken, very broken. And I allowed someone who was not of God to come into my life. And then I had another failed marriage, okay? And so I'm a person who I never planned on having any divorces, and then I ended up with two. And for someone who has done nothing in their life but try to do the right thing all the time, that was soul-crushing. And it was very hard for me to accept that I had failed, not once, but twice. So it was awful. And I want to tell you, that second marriage was the hardest one to recover from. And here's why. Because I allowed that second marriage to be more important than my relationship with God. And that was wrong. And so I just want to talk to you right now. I know that people in this room, we're all different people. And we all have different paths. We all have different stories that we're writing. And maybe your story is in the middle right here. Okay? And maybe you're like, well, I've gone too far. I've messed up too much. You haven't. The author and perfecter of our faith. So you're not the author. What you have to do is let go of the pen. Let him have it. Okay? So if you will do that, he can correct your life. He can bring you into a new, totally different place. And what happened is I actually quit singing in church because the person I was with told me that it was a sin for me to sing in church because I was a woman. And a lot of different things that were very hurtful to my faith, not just to me as a person, but to my faith. And all of those things took me away from God. And I had to get to a spot where I said, God, I'm so sorry. You know, after that ended, it was hard for me to come into church and hear praise and worship. Me, the one who has sang with my dad since I could talk. So that was just a very broken point in my life. And I'll tell you, I had to, like, tell God I was sorry more than once. And I had to tell him, hey, I was wrong. And I'm so sorry that I got away from you. And what I started to realize is that that relationship that I had run to, that was a human relationship, that wasn't what I needed. There was this God-shaped hole. Have you heard that song? It was inside of me. Nothing else could fill it. Nothing could fill that hole but God. And there still is nothing but God. And to this day, you know, now that I have come to a point where I've said, hey, God, if I never get married again, if I never have that kind of relationship again, I'm going to love you no matter what. Okay? Because you have to understand that that's not your most important relationship. There are all kinds of relationships between sisters and between siblings. They're between your parents, between your spouse, between your friends. Those relationships are good, and they're something that God gave us to help us to make it through this life, but they're not the most important one. So the one you should focus on is your relationship with God. And what I had to start doing is I had to start, like, in the morning, I had to start, like, putting on praise and worship. And I didn't let anything come into my head that I didn't go to Facebook. And a lot of people would be like, you didn't like my Facebook post. And I was like, well, I didn't see your Facebook post because I was busy praising God in the morning, getting ready, okay? And so these are things that I was a broken shell of a person. And I'm just here to tell you, God can fix it, okay? I don't know if you've ever used that whiteout tape. I love that stuff because I'm a teacher and sometimes I make mistakes. And I'm okay with that now, but I used to not be okay with mistakes. But thank God he's made me to where I can just be real. And I'm so grateful for that. And you know, life is so much easier when you're just real and you're not like, oh, I'm perfect. Everything's perfect. I'm great. Just be like, no, my life is a little screwed up right now, but I know who can fix it. Okay? I trust him. And so it's kind of like God takes that. We've messed up. You know, I messed up several chapters. And God's like, guess what? We can take those and we're just going to rip those out. Those are done. And we're going to fix them with something else beautiful. So I just want to tell you, it doesn't matter if I'm not young. So I'm in my later 40s. It doesn't matter where you are in life. God can take your life that maybe you've messed up a little bit and the brokenness that you feel, and he can heal you from the inside out. And I'm so grateful for that. I wrote down like a million verses, and I know I probably can't say all of them, but can I say a few of them? Okay. So I wanted to talk about, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I've written down some things. we need to stop looking inward, because I always thought, what can I fix about myself? And I kind of want to go back that first marriage that ended. I wanted to fix everything about myself. So I lost 98 pounds. I did everything this person wanted to do. Like if they wanted to go to a certain restaurant, I never said a word ever one time. I made myself small so that that person could, so maybe I could be what that person wanted me to be for that marriage to work. Guess what? It didn't work. It was okay. I mean, can you tell them okay now? I'm okay. But what happened is, you know, I had to quit looking inside of me, and I had to start looking up there. I had to start saying, hey, I can't fix this, God. And no matter what happens, I'm going to love you anyway. And we have to have that attitude when we face things like this. I'm looking through here. Sometimes your misfortune, sometimes the things that are happening in your life that are not great, sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes it's a result of someone that you're connected to. Okay? That happens. But I can honestly say that there are times in my life, and all the times that I've been really wrong, there have been one or two decisions where if I would have made a different decision, I would not have faced what I faced, and it was my fault. You got to be big enough to say, I screwed up, God. I'm so sorry. And then that's okay for us to be like that and to have that attitude in our hearts and just be willing to accept it, because God can take that. He can work with that. So, I love that Hebrews 12:2. And you took my Isaiah 43. I love that. Isaiah 43:18-19, talking about former things and how all things are made new. I love that one. I want to look at Proverbs 19:21. The other thing I did, not just praise and worship, was I actually got in my Bible. And I started telling Alexa every morning, Alexa, read me chapter such and such. The other day I said that to Alexa, and I was like, I said, read me something from Psalm 31. And she goes, Psalm 31. And she didn't say anything else. I know, I was like, what are you doing? So I go, yeah, I was not happy. But so I finally got Alexa to read Psalm 31 to me. But anyway, I was in Proverbs 19:21. I just went to the wrong one. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Okay, we make all these plans. I had all these plans. I knew what age I was going to have my children. I knew what age I was going to be a teacher. I knew all these things. None of that worked out. Okay, but this is still okay. God is still with me. He still helped me make it through it. And not just God, but I had some powerful spiritual warriors. I remember one time my dad came to my house and I said, Dad, I can't even go in the house. And he came and anointed it. Guess what? I could go in the house then. But it was so devastating to walk in there and see memories and things like that. And I know some of you have had those experiences in your own lives. And I'm just here to tell you, and I know that you know, God is big enough to take all of that that you have on you, no matter what it is. It can be the death of someone. It can be the loss of a relationship. All these things that have held you down, God's big enough to take them off of your shoulders. He is. And he's a mighty God. And he's doing things in my life that I never thought could happen. And he just does. But I had to come to a place, and I was talking to my dad out at the pond the other day. Do you remember, Dad? And I was like, Dad, I don't care if I never get married again. And I told him a few things. And Dad was like, you know, Casey, not everybody is like that. And he just began to minister to me that God has the perfect person, that God can do these things for me. And I was like, I know, Dad. I promise I'm never doing that crazy thing again that I did. Where I just was like, hey, I'm getting married, whether you like it or not. Kids in this room, please don't do that to your parents, because it really is important. I'm telling you right now, I know that it's kind of a joking way that I said it, but those relationships have a huge impact, not just on you when you're young, but when you're older. And so please make the right choice. Please seek the counsel of your parents and see if there's something that they can tell you, because they're only telling you that because they love you, okay? So please listen to your parents. I know that sounds like, I used to think about that when I was a kid. I was a little hard-headed, Dad, but I have always thought that my dad said the most profound things, and he's, like, usually right. And then I hate it because I'm like, dang it, he was right again. Oh. But, yes, so many times. And I'm like, I'm trying, Dad. I'm trying to learn. But God is so good. And I told my sister Kelly, I was calling her. I've called her a billion times. We talk all the time. But I told her, you know, sister, I'm not going to get on any dating apps. I'm not going to do any of those things. God's just going to have to take care of it because I'm not doing any of that stuff. I've already made some bad choices, and I don't make the best choices. So I'm going to have to leave it up to him. And, you know, I just trust God's going to take care of me. I don't have to have a spouse. You know who my best friend is? It's God. Okay, I can talk to him every day. He never gets sick of me. I never ask too many questions. So I'm grateful for those moments that I have with him. And I used to tell myself, I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. That was my mantra. I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. Doesn't that sound nice? But then I realized I'm really not alone. It doesn't matter if it's my kids' day weekend to be at their dad's and the house is quiet and all I have is that crazy cat running around acting like a psycho. I'm still not alone. I still have God with me. He can still speak to my heart. I can run around my house singing praise and worship as loud as I want because I'm not disturbing my children. Okay, and so you have to come to that place where you decide, no matter what happens, God, I'm going to love you. I'm going to worship you. Even if this thing that I really want more than anything in the world, even if this thing doesn't happen, like being a mom, even if I don't get that, I'm still going to love you. And that's where it is. And I'm definitely not perfect, but I am an overcomer. You know, I had to change the way I thought about, oh, I'm such a victim. You know, all these horrible things have happened to me. And I had to get to a point where that disgusted me. And where I said to myself, I am not a victim. I'm an overcomer. I'm someone who faced some bad stuff, and I've overcome. Because I have the one that's greater than me. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And I had to kind of hide that in my heart. Here's the funny thing. I was looking for my blue Bible, Dad, that I bring every single Sunday to church that's always in my car. Couldn't find it anywhere. And then I found, I mean, I have these on my shelf because these are precious to me. These are my most precious possessions, and it's my dad's Bible. And my mom's. And I can't say that was always my most precious thing to me. I've had wedding rings that I thought were the most precious thing, that if there was a fire and I had to get something out, that's what I would have gotten. Guess what? That'd be the last thing I got now. I would get these. But if you put God first, he's going to put you first. I promise. It may not seem like it in the moment, and my life is not perfect, and it's a struggle being a single mom. But I'm definitely not alone, you know, and neither is anyone in this room. None of you are alone. So I just wanted you to know that God is real, and he can help you through whatever you're going through, because there are people who have been through harder things than I have gone through. And they're still, you know, they still have a hope, and that hope is Jesus. So I don't know if that's all that you wanted me to say, but I just feel joy in my heart, you know. And the other thing that's really important that I've learned so much from my sister is that it's so important to be real. And you don't have to pretend like you're perfect or that your life is perfect or that there's nothing wrong with you. It's okay. God didn't come for people that were righteous. He came for the people that needed saving. And I'm one of those people. And that's okay. And I'm really happy that he loves me enough to look at me and say, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to help you make it through, and I love you, and I'm with you, and you're not alone. All those things, every single one of us in this room need that kind of love. That's the kind of love you really need. But he's an awesome God.
Thank you, sister. You know, I've watched Casey. We're 5 years apart. And I always thought she was perfect. I always did. And I always have had, like, the most biggest amount of respect for her. but I've watched her life. And I've sat many, many times here, and I would say, Casey, you and Bella sing a song. And they'd get up there and sing. And Cece, I would wrestle with myself. And I would watch my sister and my little baby niece sing, and I would say, God, I am grieved to my core about what's gone on in their life. What are you going to do about it? Here's what I can tell you. Life never goes as planned. It just doesn't. But if you're smart enough to place yourself in the palm of His hand, the Word of God, which does not return void, He tells us in His Word, for I know the plans that I have for you. I know them. Am I saying don't plan? No. I'm saying understand that of all the things, what you really want is God's plan. Sometimes we get stuck in life and we can't get over the unplanned. The things that happened that we did not plan for, we can't get over them. I'm going to ask you to consider the fact that God has something better. That He has something better. I've watched Casey have big houses. I've watched her have small houses. I've seen her have a lot of materialistic things. And then I've seen her be stripped with just almost nothing. And what I can tell you is some of the most beautiful moments in our human lives is when the world and choices and mistakes strip us from all the things that we think are important. See, God can give you stuff back, okay? Read the book of Job. God owns everything. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're in a place this morning and you say, God, what are you going to do? What do I do? Give it over to Him. Give it over to Him and let Him do what He wants to do in your life, because He knows what He has planned out for you. I think a lot of what Casey planned didn't happen. What do we learn from that? God has a plan. His plan is good for your life. Dad, we've got 5 minutes. Do you have anything you want to say? It's weird to end a service like this, but I'm certain that today was necessary. Casey, when I prayed for you Thursday, all I could see, you know, sometimes, yeah, you've got your main book. Sometimes you got little books. But I just seen God shutting it. No storm. No storm lasts forever. Amen. He will not allow it to. And I'm going to reason with you. I know what it's like to feel like it's going to last forever. But you serve a better God than that. It won't last forever. I'm going to ask you, are you in a place this morning and you say, I just need God? Have you come to the place where you can say, I don't know what I need, but I know I need God? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, because, see, I believe that the service was for the people that said, God, what do I do now? What happens now? What do I do? Brother Mike, put up my last verse, Isaiah
chapter 60, verse 22. I'm going to go down to the very last part of this verse, because if you're standing, this is for you. At the right time. God has a right time for you. Think of the story of Esther. For such a time as this. See, whatever you're going through, it has an expiration date. He's not letting it stay. But at just the right time, if you're waiting on something, maybe you're waiting for a miracle and there's no way that you're going to be good without one. Guess what? We still serve the God of miracles. He does them every day. He's not done with them and he's not out of miracles. At just the right time, I, the Lord, will. Not I'm going to think about it. Not if you're good enough. Not if you've made all the right choices. I will make it happen. I'm going to pray over you this morning. We have a beautiful food box for every single household that's here. God loves you this morning. God's into your success. He's into your heart not being broken. He's into turning your life around. Let him be that author. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person that's here. God, under the sound of my voice, and Lord, I declare right now that at just the right time, you're going to make it happen. Lord, it is not by might, it is not by power, but God, it's through the Holy Spirit. So Lord, right now, I thank you that you give us the courage to live out this sermon. God, if we planned everything ourselves, and God, we're broken because the plans didn't happen. God, I ask that you'd mend us up. God, give us the courage to trust in your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, one member of every household go through that.